Hey everyone, welcome back to The Advisor. I am Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show, joined today by Charlie Johnson, who is an advocate for this concept of Chief Consciousness Officer. You know, it's so interesting and it is so, 10 years from now, but it's he will say it's happening and we're in the right timing for this to happen. And he's got this vision and this idea. And when I'm talking to him, and if you've heard our past episodes, he really talks about this concept. Today we're going to break it down a little bit, and I've asked him to share a little bit about who he is to connect us to him to sh so we can fully more further understand the Chief Consciousness Officer from his perspective. I just want to thank iHeartRadio and Spreaker for your sponsorship. And I also want to thank our audience. Without you, we cannot grow and we cannot get these topics out there. So if you have not yet, all I ask is that you like and subscribe and then listen. But thank you so much for your support. So, one of the world's first Chief Consciousness Officers. So, Charlie, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you've been doing well. You've been busy. I've been seeing you all over. Every time I open LinkedIn, you're doing another interview and you're speaking about this. So it's the message is getting heard. It's getting put out there. How are things going in that sense?
Yeah, the quite a few of these hosts have admitted they would have not had me on as soon as 3 months ago, which shows me that the theory that that consciousness is rising very quickly, more aggressively than humanity's ever experienced, and that the dissolving of our construct of time, which is speeding things up, that is happening. Quite a few of these podcasts have had me on to, in a sense, skewer me, and admittedly so. They're perfectly respectful, very nice, but they were very skeptical. And they wanted to have me on to, in a sense, to debunk it. And every one of them turned into a believer. The attraction of this position, the timing, the way it's packaged, the way I'm speaking about it, that it's not spiritual, that it's tactical, how it impacts the business, how it impacts the C-suite, how it impacts what an organization's already doing and what they will do in the future to bring clarity to whatever it is they choose to do is really, for lack of better words, resonating with executives and entrepreneurs, and politics too. I've been on a lot of political podcasts, entrepreneurial podcasts, AI podcasts, management, leadership, executives, all of these type of different podcasts, spiritual podcasts. It's quite amazing how quickly this has turned into something. And this morning was a bunch of colonels from the military. Last week was the past deputy director of the FBI. So these are individuals that have certain topics they always talk about, but they're open to doing what you and I are doing, discussing the chief consciousness officer with their audience. So it's kind of an off conversation topic, but it's something in their soul that's telling their mind or their conscience to say, hey, there's something here. Let's see what this guy's all about. Let's see what this position really means, because they've got a construct in their head. They're thinking consciousness, spirituality, wellness program, conscious capitalism, all the stuff that's already been done, and they're pleasantly surprised to hear what it really is.
Yeah, we were talking right before I hit record that it's a hard concept to really understand unless you live it, unless you have witnessed it and fully understand from a more generalized perspective. Even then, it's hard for the average person to really grasp onto. I know we're moving in the right direction, but I was mentioning to you before we started that every time that you and I speak, I'm always left with like the mystery of yourself. And I think that's part of the role of the Chief Consciousness Officer is this unspoken energy that is just kind of there, and it just kind of brings down the mood and gives like a sense of comfort. So I'm super curious, and I know the audience would be too. Like, how do you live your daily life? Where did this come from? What's Charlie Johnson's like daily experience like in this world?
My curiosity every day is still, how are we so divided? When I before I understood this, before I met my teacher, before I understood consciousness, I was reading a lot of business books. And Steve Jobs would do it one way, and then so and so would do it this way. And there were 100 different books, 100 different individuals, 100 different ways to success. Yet we were continuously thinking that this example was the way. We needed to mirror what we were doing by this example, by this opinion, by this individual, their own individual karma, their own individual way up the mountain. 8 billion people, 8 billion different ways up the same mountain, going to the same spot. I was always curious as to who was right. Like there's got to, because our construct of being a human is there's a right and there's a wrong, right? That's an either or. So 100 different books, 100 different people, 100 different ways, and they all got to the same point. What am I missing? And then as things started to expand and I crossed paths with my teacher, and then I had more of an understanding of religions, like my God's better than your God. An atheist believes all, this, a Catholic believes this. I just kept seeing division. And I didn't know why. It wasn't for me to be with one side or the other. I wasn't trying to find myself. And then politics. I never understood why Harvard, two Harvard grads, both IQ, same education, same family, same upbringing, same city, hated each other because one thought a Republican way and the other thought a Democratic way. It never made sense to me ever. But that was priming me for these discussions you and I are having. It was priming me for my teacher. So my question always was, what's better, heads or tails of the coin? Well, every time I get a response, it's like, well, they're the same. They're just different sides. No shit. No shit. And you're sitting there killing someone over your belief and theirs is different. You are literally torturing someone because they're a Democrat and believe that you really believe they're ruining the world, but they believe you're ruining the world. Never made sense to me. On top of it not making sense to me, it never made sense to me that why that wasn't a topic of conversation. That we as human beings truly believed at some point in the future our side was going to win, the other side was going to lose, and we would just go off into a utopic society. Both sides want to leave the world better for their kids. Both sides hate division and conflict. Both sides say the same thing. We've been doing it since the beginning of humanity. And yet no one's ever brought into the conversation levels of consciousness and that both sides are doing the same thing to do the polar opposite of what they want to do for the world and for their kids.
So
I didn't
as
go to
you
college.
navigate, sorry, I'm curious, as you
Go ahead.
navigate, as you're navigating your world, are you saying that like you've just always kind of been neutral in these perspectives and just more dumbfounded by why the world was turning out the way it was, and you never really chose sides, and you were just kind of, as you would say, neutral, like throughout your life experiences, like even as a child? So I know for me, I always felt like I was kind of like left out or like an anomaly, because I'm like, I don't really agree with that, but I don't agree with that either. So I'm just kind of going to do my own thing because I don't feel like I'm a part of either or. So I need to be a part of some things. So I'm just going to do my thing and hope that it kind of opens up. I don't know. Can you speak on that?
Like a big group of friends. Are you with Michael or are you with Nate? Like, which one do you agree with? The two guys that got in a fight. I was like, oh, shit, I don't know. They're probably both at fault. Well, I'm with Nate and I'm with Mike, so we're just gonna like people don't understand neutrality. I didn't do well with kids my age. Never did, and I always thought there was a problem with that. I always thought I was an introvert or shy or what. Had nothing to do with that. It had to do with, as humans, we want to know one of two things: are you for us or against us? Do you believe what I believe, or do I need to disagree with you? We're human, cavemen, cavewomen. Is that a threat or is it not? Is that where I should go or should I go this way? Is that person in my clan or are they against me? Do they believe what I believe or do they not? Do I need to fight them or do I need to help them? That's all we know. And why is this person in Utah that has no really background in psychiatry or philosophy or any of this stuff? Why am I asking the question? Why is this so important to me? Why, like, it just never felt what was going on never felt right, but it also didn't feel right being neutral and having no side to choose. Because you know the famous quote, if you don't stand for something, you fall for everything. Okay. Well, you
Yeah,
know
I
what?
disagree.
Take that quote and shove it up your ass, because that constant choosing of sides has created the world we live in right now. And not a single person on either side would agree that it's good. They would agree that there's a lot of conflict and division, and everyone thinks it's the other side that's doing it, but they think you're doing it. So I think this was just 44 years of training to get to this point where I can have this conversation with you clearly from direct experience, confidently, and bring about this position, which naturally came just channeled through me as a position that can help organizations, politics, military, companies, whatever it is, understand this conversation more.
And it takes like, I mean, a lot of people are just followers per se, and they do things because other people are doing things. But to have this level of understanding, the level of self-understanding that you don't belong to this side or this side, but then digesting that further and saying, like, I do belong, and my vision is this, and to just patiently wait for that to kind of channel through, that to me is just so fascinating. But also like my experience. So I totally get it. And I'm not the one with the vision or the idea. You definitely are, but I understand it fully, but not a lot of people do. And I think that's exactly what you're trying to do now, is because it's so clear to you. It's really hard to put something like that into words, especially as you're going through it and evolving. You just feel like you kind of don't belong anywhere. But so when did the idea finally come through? Do you remember that? And like, what was your first action step?
It was earlier this year, on a conversation with a friend of mine. We were just spitballing ideas, and all of a sudden, I was like, "Oh my God, Chief Consciousness Officer! Holy shit, that's it, that's it!" And then I did some research. I found out that there was one other lady that I've spoken with personally on LinkedIn and in a Zoom call like this. She tried it about 15 years ago, but she tried it in a way of like marketing, like the chief consciousness officer for marketing in a sense, right? It wasn't all encompassing.
Marketing,
She did
what do you mean by that?
like understanding what the customer wanted, understanding what how they could market differently in a
Ah,
conscious
got it.
way, right? So kind of like conscious capitalism does.
Use it to sell, or
correct.
okay, got it.
Which is perfectly fine. She I think it
Yeah.
lasted, it was her friend's company. I think it lasted for a year or two, and then they both went their separate ways and she never brought it back up.
Got it.
So in a sense, she naturally passed the baton to me, and I'm embodying it and coming up with this idea and this vision of more of a encompassing the entire organization. So it includes the wellness program. It's not a wellness program. It includes HR. It includes the chief people officer. It includes the CEO. Includes the customer service. It includes middle management. It includes all the consultants and the programs that have come in the last 10 to 15 years that are trying to create conscious leadership or leading by the heart or expanding awareness of the entire organization, right? Just like the conversation I had right before this, the lady, was a part of a really good program that gets great results. This position understands both sides of the argument. This position is not a consultant or a program or a 6 week. They're in there every day, 365 days a year, intimately understanding the employees, the programs, the structure, all of them. This individual takes every person in the organization and expands the box of their mind. So that when one of these conscious leaderships or conscious capitalism programs comes in, the chances of them having space for it, accepting it, absorbing it, and actually utilizing it, implementing it, skyrocket. Because there's a great metaphor of the student who finds the teacher and says, "I'm ready to learn." And the teacher says, "Great." And he starts to pour a cup of tea. The tea starts to overflow the sides. The student says, "Okay, hey, dude, you're wasting tea, man. Just stop pouring." He's like, "Yeah, your mind's like this cup of tea. How do you expect me to teach you anything new?" Our minds, because of how we work, we've only known the mind. We choose side after side after side. We take this vast resource of consciousness and we shrink it down to a box. It's overloaded. It's got 80,000 thoughts. It's overwhelmed. It's full. No one
Yeah,
would
mine was
disagree with
sparking
that.
earlier. Mine was sparking earlier.
No one would
So.
disagree that our minds are overwhelmed and full. So when a conscious capitalism or conscious leadership or one of these great programs comes in, the chances of them being a part of the tea that stays in the teacup is pretty minimal, right? The wellness program that we've really worked on heavily with meditation mindfulness and tried to get into our employees, the chances of that being implemented correctly and participation and people being having enough space to accept it, minimal. And the question is, how's the world look? How will their business look? Well, it's never been more divided and conflicted. Yet, we've never had more wellness programs, never had more access to knowledge about mindfulness and meditation and peace and centeredness. We've never had more books on how to be happy or life hacks. Okay. But we've never been more divided, conflicted. We've never had, it's kind of like the obesity in healthcare. We never spent more money on it. We've never had access to more ways to lose weight. We've never been more overweight. Something's not right here. Well, the mind's full. The expertise behind fitness trainers, the expertise behind conscious leadership and conscious capitalism is right. What they're teaching is right. What they're trying to do is correct. It is exactly what we need. The chief consciousness officer takes this, expands it, gives space for that expertise of these people to come in and actually get absorbed. This position is not a consultant. It's not a part program. It's not 6 weeks here, this, come in and tell someone what to do and leave. It's 365 days a year. It's in every meeting. It's doing the boring shit. It's doing emails. It's having the boring conversations. It's getting to know someone who's pissed off. It's getting to know customer service. It's getting to help the CEO with structure. It is a full-time position. Consciousness is going to be the center of humanity moving forward. It always has been. We just haven't been aware of it. You're going to want someone on staff that understands that. And this lady that I just spoke with brought up a great point. They do a 6 week program that gets great results. What happens on week seven? What if someone of the 1,000 employees they just worked with has a question? They've moved on to the next company, the next 6 week program. Who the hell are they going to talk to? The CEO just came back from a 10-day silent retreat. He loved 10 days. You know what day I care about? Day 11. What's that individual going to do when that teacher, that person that really brought out all the emotions, no longer available for day-to-day questions? Imagine having someone on staff who understands all of that and can be there for everyone in the organization for any type of random Tuesday 12 o'clock question about, man, I did this meditation thing 3 months ago and something's coming up. What does that mean? Imagine having someone on staff for that.
Yeah, it sounds
That's a
like a
big
dream.
deal. Oh my hell, that's the next hire for these companies. Absolutely.
That definitely allows people to expand their themselves outside of the office, which in turn would just improve the way that they work in general. I know when I'm
Yes.
fully, I go on a retreat and I come back and I'm like recharged, and then I don't want to utilize that, but it's different. It's something that you're not used to. But I just want to clarify for the audience. So when you were talking about like our consciousness being full, and that's why a lot of stuff doesn't stick, because our brains are overloaded. So sure, we have the intention of wanting to improve that side of our lives, but we just don't have the space. So what you're saying is we would need to, carve out a chunk of that space in order to take something on. So for example, I have whatever, a sore back. So I need to make sure that I take out a chunk of time out of my week so that I can focus on that and work on that. That's what you're saying, that people are overloaded in their minds, from an idea sense, from a consciousness sense. Is that right? Am
So
I
just
clear?
it's semantics, but you said the consciousness is full. Consciousness is not full.
Yeah, I
No
meant, I
chance
guess
in hell. The
mind.
mind is full.
Yes, I
The
misspoke.
middle man. Yeah, the middle
Yes.
man, the only thing we've ever known, learned about, taught about, used, the tool, the kind of like the fish in the water, what's water analogy. All we know is the mind. We don't even know, we don't even think about the mind because we don't know anything different. That's all we've ever used. That thing is a disaster. That thing is what causes all the problems because it's divided. Consciousness is the source that created the mind, created the thoughts, created our physical being, created the world, created everything. So let's tap into that source. That's who we are. We are consciousness. Conscious, just to reiterate this, is con you and I are conscious. That's our five senses. We get hit in the head, we're unconscious. People think that's the same thing as consciousness. It's not. Consciousness is a, think of it as a noun. This computer, you, your physical body, the mountain, the water, the planet, the people, the animals, a noun. It's everything, physical, non-physical. Conscious is a verb. I'm seeing, I'm smelling, I'm touching, I'm conscious of this conversation. So people really mix that in a lot. Like, oh yeah, I'm conscious. That's conscious capitalism. That's consciousness. No, no, it's not. That's the issue that we've spent the last 20 years. Our heart's in the right place. We're trying to do the right things with these right programs, but it's not the same thing. That's why this position is so attractive. That's why we're doing so many podcasts and so many people are just coming out of the woodwork saying, I don't really understand, but holy shit, this is exactly, I think this is exactly what we need. And then they start saying things, assuming what they know, assuming that this is what it is. And then you and I, like we're having right now, we can have this conversation and say, no, consciousness is not full. The mind's full. You knew that. I know you knew that. being conscious is not consciousness, like just semantics, but that's what we've been missing. Because we've had the books, we've had the programs, we've had the happiness, the life hacks, the wellness programs. We've never been more divided and conflicted. So obviously something's missing. Obviously something's missing. So the timing's perfect. We all have our sails up, and consciousness is the biggest hurricane force wind that's pushing humanity forward. They're becoming more clear to it, and they're allowing this conversation to be heard because they're ready for it now. They're absolutely ready for it now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it also comes down to what you talked about from like not understanding it, and now you're able to put it into words as people understand bits of the concept, but not fully. And that's where you come in, is like teaching more on general terms, just like you corrected me now in the way I misspoke about conscious and my, like people want to understand, but they just really don't know
They
how to
really
put it
do.
into words. They
Exactly.
like they don't. So they're like trying to spew out that information and they just don't know how. So
No,
I have a go ahead.
and the thing is we have to bring attention to the facilitators and the programs and the conscious leadership and the conscious capitalism. They're very aware individuals. They're smarter than I am. They're intelligent. They've got a bit more degrees than I do, but they too have a limit to what they're discussing because of their own clarity, because of not really understanding the difference between conscious and consciousness, not really understanding what this position is. Think in a sense, thinking it's a threat. It's going to bring you more business. If this position's in 1,000 companies, there's going to be 1,000 companies who are going to expand their box of their mind. They're going to expand their teacup, and they're actually going to be looking for your program, your 6-week program. This is not a
So
threat.
why are people, why do people think it's a threat?
Kind of like my God's better than your God. That's a threat. I'm a Republican and you're a Democrat. That's a threat. What is it? Complete ignorance and misunderstanding. That's all a threat is.
Got
The
it.
monster under the bed's a threat.
Yeah.
Mom, will you come look at this under my bed? There's no monsters. Okay, thanks.
Right.
We as adults think that's childish. We still all have monsters under the bed. The monster under the bed for a Republican is the Democrats. The monster under the bed for a Catholic is the atheist. That's why there's so much division. We think everyone who doesn't believe what we believe is a threat.
Right.
They think what you believe is a threat. The heads thinks the tails is a threat. That's ignorance. That's not a threat. It's the same damn
Yeah.
cord.
I mean, I think it comes down to exactly. I did a whole podcast on misunderstanding and perception. And that's every day, all day. That's why people are struggling with relationships of all kinds, business, personal, is because of misunderstanding and perception. So I would agree with that. And a new concept that isn't understood brings that discomfort for people, but so interesting.
And the greatest thing we have now is that we're bringing awareness to this conversation, this position to consciousness. And the best thing we've got going is that consciousness is shifting. So this is not a human thing. The human's talking about it, the human's in the middle of it, but consciousness is pushing 8 billion people up to the point where they will be less divided and conflicted. They will be more open to this conversation, and they will have a better chance of understanding the difference between consciousness and conscious, and what this program does and what it doesn't, what this position is and what it's not. So it's perfect timing.
What if there's a way that you could do like simulations, or have if someone like is really interested but doesn't quite understand it, if you could like go into their workplace and you know be there for a week and demonstrate the feeling, you know, the energy of it. Would that maybe open their minds up a little? Because I think for so like for something like this, a lot of people would have to feel it and just be really open to it and then experience it. And then they'd be like, holy shit, this guy is onto something, you know?
Well, I think there's going to be some that want to experience it and feel it, right? When you say
Yep.
feel, that's a unique group of people. A lot of people don't feel, right?
Right.
Right. It's naturally for you and I to think about that energy, feeling, spiritual, a little bit. Right? A lot of people make their decisions off of emotion and thinking they know what things are. So I just got to keep doing what you and I are doing, discussing this at a very simple level so that a CEO, a company, an executive, an HR professional sees this and says, there's something here. Let's see what happens. Let's have him, let's hire him. Let's see what happens, right? I really don't want it to be a week on, a week off. I don't want it to be a month long program. I don't like the structure. That's not my strength. That's a big weakness of mine, is to create some type of program. That's why I personally am not a threat to these other programs and these other leadership implementations and classes and whatever.
Right. That's
I
not your
don't want
jam.
it to. I don't want it to be a program. We've done
Yeah.
the. We've we have a lot of consultants. We have a lot of coaches. We have a lot of programs. We have more than ever, right?
Oh God,
How
it's
does
like everywhere. All day, that's all I see.
it, yeah, and how's the world look? I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying what they're teaching's wrong. I'm not saying it's not shouldn't be done. I'm saying we've got to take it one step deeper. We've got to have someone on staff that can help that program and that class be absorbed and then be there on week seven when the 6 week program is over to keep it going all damn year.
So where can people find you? You're on LinkedIn.
I'm not a big fan of social media, so I stay with LinkedIn. That's as adult and as professional as it gets on LinkedIn, I guess. Right?
Perhaps,
It's not,
perhaps.
yeah, we're starting to do selfies and stuff like that, which is unfortunate, but yeah, LinkedIn. So I'm sure we'll put this in the video notes, but message me there. You can see the conversation of what this position is. You can see conversations like you and I are having, and people can better understand what this position is and what it's not.
Website as well?
I just want to
Not
take them to
yet.
LinkedIn. Nope.
Right.
No,
Okay,
I
perfect.
there is a website, but I just want to take them to LinkedIn.
Okay, noted. That'll be in the show notes for you guys. So if you have any
Thank you.
questions, please, please reach out to Charlie. But yeah, it's such an interesting concept. And I mean, I believe I see the vision. It's just a matter of having continuing this conversation as we will, and just talking about it more.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for
Why do you think people are why
doing
do you think people are so afraid of it? Like of to speak, to like ask questions, you know, like I'm thinking about the little Lisa, like little Charlie, like thinking these things, but not speaking it out loud. I don't know. It's just interesting. Why do you think we're afraid?
That's our conditioning, right? There's still
Yeah.
th certain things within me that I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
And when I really sit back and look at it, it's childish what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when I was 8 and I believed in Santa Claus, and then I got 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I'm like, oh, that's mom. And
Yeah.
then there were things that a friend, not being friends with someone that was heartbreaking, like that's going to be the end of the world, or breaking up with someone. I mean, there's certain things that we go through that in the moment are very painful, and we have a great fear for them because it's the fear of the unknown. What happens next? So when you bring up something new like this, it's just natural because of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years of evolution that if our mind wants to know everything, we've been given a tool that wants to know everything, and it never knows truly anything. So that's why we're almost in a sense, we've got this undertow of insecurities and fears almost all the time. I mean, I feel it all the time. It doesn't go away.
Yeah. And I really truly despise those writers of movies who do not make an ending to a movie, because I always feel that there's comfort in knowing how something ends. And when they purposely leave you with a cliffhanger, I'm like, I literally tuned in so I could just comfortably watch this, and my mind feels happy because it knows how this ends. And now it's like open-ended. And so yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, that sums it up right there. We all want an ending to know what's going on, and we just will never have that. We will never know.
Yeah, there's something so exciting about that though as well.
And terrifying.
I like to use the word exciting. I'm gonna use it.
We'll
It
go
is
with
a
that. We'll go with exciting.
look exciting, exciting.
We'll keep
I'm
it there.
just like too optimistic, but it
That's
was
good.
it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for sharing your insight and for letting me, pick at you a little and talk a little bit about your personal life as well.
Yeah, thank you. It's great.
Amazing. And to our audience, thanks for tuning in. If you have not checked out the other episodes, please go back and do so, because we break it down even further on what this position entails. And Charlie's going to be back to talk even more about the Chief Consciousness Officer. Until next time, I'm Lisa Urbanski with The Advisor. This is Charlie Johnson. Bye for now.